response by texting or calling 437-1620.
And now, here's your host, Bobby Rossi.
It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I've got some highlights from the from Governor DeSantis' re-inauguration speech, I guess you'd say. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. First, top three stories. The Speaker of the House is, well, we don't have one yet. What's been going on is that we're now down to the third vote, to the fourth vote for Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy has not been able to win a majority of votes yet. The fourth vote probably won't even happen now until tomorrow at this point, as he's got to try to reach out and appease the Freedom Caucus and those that the Freedom Caucus is winning over. Because it's not just the Freedom Caucus anymore. It's others who were supporting Kevin McCarthy, but who are now like, okay, maybe we should vote somebody else. Jim Jordan, by the way, of Ohio, is the other one who's getting votes. We talked about last hour what they're demanding. They're demanding four main things. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. The Buffalo Bills player, Damar Hamlin, remains in critical condition after having cardiac arrest on the field last night and being revived via CPR. The Bills and Bengals game will not resume this week, according to the NFL, and Week 18 schedule looks like it remains the same. So they may, I don't know what they're going to do with this. Probably just, or you know, I don't know, just get rid of the game, I guess. I don't know. Sam Bankman-Fried has pled guilty, not guilty, to fraud charges. This is the guy who founded FTX cryptocurrency. That was basically being charged as a Ponzi scheme, essentially. So those are your top three stories. So Governor DeSantis had his was sworn in today for his second term. And when he was sworn in, by the way, he was sworn in using a Bible from fellow talk radio host Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has the Aitken Bible. He owns that. And if you know anything about Glenn, he collects a lot of old memorabilia and particularly historical documents. So the Aitken Bible is from 1782, and it's the first known English language Bible to be printed in America. And so he lent him his Aitken Bible in order to be sworn in. So that was kind of a cool thing. Then, let's see here. Let me go through some of the highlights, actually. Let me get right into this. Some of the highlights of Governor DeSantis' speech after he was sworn in. He talked about the accomplishments of Florida. He says, we're number one in the United States in net in-migration, at least percentage-wise. We've talked about that the other day. Numbers-wise, Texas is number one, but percentage-wise, Florida is number one. Florida is the number one fastest growing state. Once again, percentage wise, we are number one in new business formations. Florida is number one in tourism. We are number one in economic freedom. Florida is number one in educational freedom. And we rank number one in parental involvement in education. Florida also ranks number one in public higher education. This is the record we can all be proud of. So that was kind of here's some accomplishments, right? But he also talked about some other accomplishments. Quote, Florida has accumulated a record budget surplus, which, by the way, I'll point out some of his detractors say, if you've got a budget surplus, you should be spending it. That there's people in the state suffering and there's cities who could use the money and blah, blah, blah. I do not agree with them. I like the thought process, the mentality of you put money away for a rainy day. You don't have to spend all the revenue that comes in. But anyway, he goes on, says, Florida has accumulated a record budget surplus, and we need to enact a record amount of tax relief, particularly for Florida families who are grappling with inflation. We must ensure school systems are responsive to parents and students. not partisan interest groups. And we must ensure that institutions of higher learning are focused on academic excellence, not trendy ideology. Florida must always be a great place to raise a family. We will enact more family-friendly policies to make it easier to raise children, and we'll defend children against those who seek to rob them of their innocence. We will always remain a law and order state. So these are some of the things that he's, you know, projecting that he wants to do in his next term. We will always remain a law and order state. We will always have support of law enforcement, and we always reject soft on crime policies. Florida is now in the golden area of conservation for our treasured natural resources. Our momentum is strong, and we will finish what we started. We will leave Florida to God better than what we found it. Governor DeSantis continues on in a later part of his speech. It is often said that, and this part isn't really significant as far as what he plans to do with the state. I just thought it was very well put. Quote, "It is often said that our federalist constitutional system, with 50 states able to pursue their own unique policies, represents a laboratory of democracy. Well, these last few years have witnessed a great test of governing philosophies, as many jurisdictions pursued a much different path than we have pursued here in the state of Florida. The policies pursued by these states have sparked a mass exodus of productive Americans from these jurisdictions, with Florida serving as the most desired destination, a promised land of sanity." I just thought that was very well put. Continuing on here, he goes on and says, "We reject woke ideology. We seek normalcy, not philosophical lunacy. We will not allow reality, facts, and truth to become optional. We will not never surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die." So he reiterated that, where he said that in his speeches on the campaign trail. He's now said that in his sworn-in speech. And finally, I'll give you the final points right after Traffic on the Fives with Gracie Wolf.
Our roadways are looking good, accident-free, I-10 and I-110 not seeing any major slowdowns. On Highway 90, we're still seeing some slowdowns. That's going to be if you're leaving Pensacola heading towards Pace on the bridge due to construction. A little while ago, we did have some slowdowns on Fairfield Drive. This is going to be at the Mobile Highway intersection due to a light malfunctioning. Right now, we're still seeing some slight delays on West Fairfield. If you have any more details, please call in to 850-262-6111. That's our traffic line. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
So I'm covering Governor DeSantis' speech after he was sworn in for his second term. And here was the final little bit here. "It is our responsibility here in Florida to carry this torch. We do not run from this responsibility. We welcome it. We will be on our guard. We will stand firm in the faith. We will be courageous. We will be strong. And we thank God and are proud to be citizens of the great free state of Florida." So that was the final little part of Governor DeSantis' speech. So how was it accepted as he's promoting freedom? Well, of course, as you could tell, it was partisan, right? So you got people like Representative Anna Eskamani, Democrat from Orlando. Quote, "The governor's inaugural speech was incredibly boring and contained no new ideas, just MAGA talking points and buzzwords. The only line that got major applause was, 'Florida is where woke goes to die,' which is a line Governor DeSantis used before. No actual issues that everyday families deal with, like housing affordability, were even mentioned. And the governor once more avoided talking about abortion and reproductive rights." And a Democrat from Boca Raton, there, Kelly Skidmore, representative. "There are words that could have been used to inspire, and I didn't hear any of them." Republicans, though, State Senator Jay Collins, "It was an honor to join America's governor. Looking forward to working together and making sure that Florida remains a beacon of strength, security, and freedom." Then you've got Representative Webster Barnaby says he thought DeSantis' speech was optimistic and approved of what was called a theme of unity. And particularly where he referenced, "We are one nation under God, but we're a state that follows that as well." And then, of course, one of the biggest praises that's getting a lot of publicity, a lot of people covering it, is Jeb Bush. Former Governor Jeb Bush said in comments to Politico after the speech that he thought Governor DeSantis would be a great alternative to former President Donald Trump for the Republicans. Quote, "If he runs, he'll be a great alternative, but I'm not going to prejudge whether he's running or not. He's got a proven record as the governor of the greatest state." So that's just some of the feedback and response to Governor DeSantis' speech, starting off his second term. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Got a text here. asking about DeMar Hamlin, the Buffalo Bills player who collapsed on the field yesterday, last night, and they suspended the game. Now the NFL saying they will not make the game up later this week. No word what they're going to do with the game. Got a text here, says, why wouldn't they just pull somebody off the bench and let the game continue? You obviously did not see this. or maybe you missed out on what I was saying before about the details of this situation. I mean, so I didn't see it live. I got a phone call from somebody who says, are you seeing the game? I said, no, that you need to turn it on. So I turn it on. There's no game. It's cut to studio, and the studio's very somber, almost in tears. I'm like, what in the world happened? So I Google it. I see the videos and everything like this. The player died on the field. He died. He had cardiac arrest. They had to use CPR on the field for 9 minutes while they waited for the ambulance to get there. And then when the ambulance got there, they rushed him to the hospital. And so, you know, he's got family in attendance. But beyond that, you have all of his teammates and opposing teammates who just watched a person die on the football field. And basically CPR done in order to try to keep him alive. And so, I remember when there was some sort of announcement Joe Buck made, which turned out to be false later, but Joe Buck made an announcement that the NFL is going to give each team 5 minutes to warm up and then they'll get resume the game. And I was like, I was sitting and watching it with my daughter. I go, they should cancel this game. What are they, crazy? There's no way these players are going to be able to play through this. They just had their best friend, for many of them, and others are just teammate, you know, die on the field. There's no way they can resume this game. And because, I mean, emotionally, they won't be able to do it and stuff. So sure enough, they did end up, the coaches went to the refs and were like, we can't do this. We need to go to the locker room for a little bit. They went to the locker room, and then that's when they suspended the game. Good point here. Thank you for this text. NFL should just call this game a tie. Yeah, that's probably the best thing to do with that one. I agree. Text here. Do you think that the fact that he got the jab had anything to do with the heart condition? I brought this up before. I absolutely do. Yeah. And I have no basis on that. I do not know if he even got the shot. But come on. We're seeing 31-year-olds and 24-year-olds and 28-year-olds having heart attacks on a regular basis now. It did not happen before 2020. What's different? COVID shot that we know gives myocarditis to young men. I mean, come on. It's not even a conspiracy at this point. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. Coming up here next, quick update on top trending news from Joe Ford in the newsroom. I need love to ease my mind. I need to find someone to call mine. But mama said, Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. NFL required every player to get the COVID shot, if you remember. Well, they did. But remember, there were some who didn't get it, like Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers came out with an interview last summer and said the NFL did everything they could to shame people who did not get the shot. I got a text here. Says, my mom, 94 years old in January. Oh, well, congratulations. Got the jab. Never had a blood clot in her life. Got a blood clot about 5 months ago. I hate the jab. Ugh, yeah, I hear that stuff, too. That's horrific. Yes. And I heard this as well. And I do want to bring this up because, you know, full disclosure, I want to say this. Myocarditis, the heart condition that people are developing, young men particularly are developing from the COVID shot, is not just from the COVID shot. COVID itself can create myocarditis. That's actually one of the reasons why the NCAA started really pushing football players to get the shot. Because they didn't know at the time that the shot gave you myocarditis, but they knew that COVID did. And so they thought, get the shot in order to prevent getting COVID and therefore getting myocarditis. So I do want to bring that up, just full transparency of all this. You can have the heart condition from the COVID shot, or you can also get it if you just got COVID. Full transparency there. But here's another text. This was a direct hit to the heart. Martial arts has a death punch. That's a massive thrust to the heart. Not defending the COVID shot, just stating this is a well-known medical diagnosis. Yeah, and I've read that as well, that this they were likening it and saying this could be likened to the death punch in martial arts. where it's such a hard hit to the heart area that it stops the heart. Very well could have been that as well. And for his health and his future health, I hope that that's what it was, because that's something you can recover from. Can't really recover from myocarditis. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi. Let's get traffic on the fives, and then we'll head to trending news.
This traffic update is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Our roads are running smoothly. Our light at Fairfield and Mobile Highway has gotten fixed, so we are all good at that intersection. We're seeing some slight delays. This is going to be a typical area leaving Pensacola, heading towards Avalon Boulevard. You'll see some slowdowns in the eastbound direction on I-10, as well as some slight slowdowns on the I-110 ramp getting onto I-10. So as you're heading northbound, heading west, then about to head westbound onto the ramp towards Mobile, it is slowing down, not major delays, but just keep that in mind, as well as leaving Pensacola heading towards Pace on Highway 90 due to construction. If you see something else, give me a call to the traffic line. Again, this traffic update brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Now it's time for your top trending news.
Top trending news. I'm Joe Ford, and Bobby, this is just one of those days where top trending news could be like an entire show, as there's just a lot going on today. We'll start with what you were just talking about, as the NFL says the game between the Bills and the Bengals will not be resumed this week. Still no update from about 4 hours ago, when the Bills sent out a statement saying that DeMar Hamlin was in a critical condition last night and remained in the ICU this afternoon. Kevin McCarthy still short of the votes needed to become House Speaker on the first ballot. Second and third, too, as the House is adjourned for the night, expected to come back around noon Eastern time tomorrow. And on this, you know, I'll be honest with you, I do not follow national politics nearly as much as I'm sure you do and others do, but it has been really fascinating to watch the drama unfold. Certainly helps that Congressman Matt Gaetz is right in the epicenter of it. But yeah, just really fascinating to watch that play out in Washington today. Again, if you haven't been following House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, I don't know if, would you say widely expected to be House Speaker? Is that fair to say? Or certainly
still
the favorite?
Yeah, he still will be.
Yeah, so
First
time in 100 years that it has gone over the first vote, and so we're going to be on number four for tomorrow. Southwest Airlines being hit with a class action lawsuit over the holiday meltdown. A lawsuit was filed in federal court in New Orleans.
I saw that one as well. Let's go ahead and get a quick break, because when we come back here, we got to get to our daily dad joke and more next, right here on News Radio 92.3. Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Four things that the Freedom Caucus wants in order to support Kevin McCarthy. One, a balanced budget. Two, Fair Tax Act. Three, Texas border plan, and four, term limits. Now, in truth, they're not wanting those things to get passed. They can't just unilaterally get those things done, but they want to at least have a vote on those four issues.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, despite popular demand, here's today's Daily Dad Joke.
All right, here's Daily's Dad Joke. My wife's mad at me because she said I never buy her flowers. Honestly, I didn't even know she sold flowers. I like this one too. I got time. I asked my wife if I was the only one she'd ever been with. She said, yes, all the others have been nines and tens.
Thank you.
Hey, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Northwest Florida. They're hosting their annual signature event, the Big Gala, presented by the Pensacola Ice Flyers. It's coming up Saturday, January 14th. It's their biggest black tie event of the year. And it's going to be over at the Hilton Pensacola Beach. This year's theme is Come Fly With Me. It's going to celebrate Northwest Florida's rich history in aviation. And you're going to have signature cocktails, gourmet seated dinner, live entertainment, and live and silent auctions and more. Brent Lane and Mel McCrae from our sister station, Cat Country 987, are going to be the MC. So, you know, it's going to be a fun time. If you'd like to attend, there's plenty of sponsorship opportunities available. Call Big Brothers Big Sisters at 850-433-KIDS. That's 850-433-5437. Or go to our website, newsradio923.com. Remember, the proceeds from the Big Gala will go towards the Big Brother and Big Sisters of Northwest Florida's mission to help create one-on-one mentoring relationships. So be sure to check that out. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. So, yeah, top three stories here, and then we'll get into your sports hit, is Kevin McCarthy has lost his third vote for House Speaker. Fourth vote will come up tomorrow. And Jim Jordan is the other one who's been nominated, and he's got up to 19 or 20 votes for him. So neither one of them, I mean, so Jim Jordan's not close to getting the majority. Kevin McCarthy is, but it just, you know, needs some more there. And I was just covering four things that the caucus, that the Freedom Caucus, they're the main ones opposing Kevin McCarthy right now. Four things that the Freedom Caucus wants: term limits. Or at least, and here's the thing, they at least just want an opportunity to vote on these things. they're not even saying, like, you've got to pass these if you're going to, because obviously he can't pass them. He can't pass them unilaterally. It's got to be done. But they want to at least have him commit that he'll at least put these bills up on the floor to be at least be discussed and voted on. A balanced budget amendment, Fair Tax Act, Texas border plan, and term limits. Four things that are absolutely, yeah, I support all four of those things very much so. And it's not too hard to go, yes, I will make sure we put those on the floor this year. That's not hard to commit to. But, I mean, look, the reality is the term limits bill will not pass. As much as I love the fair tax, it won't pass. As much as I love the balanced budget amendment, it will not pass. The Texas border plan might pass. It just depends if they can get a few Democrats to vote with them on it. that's a reality too. So why not just commit and go, yeah, sure, I'll commit to doing those things, because they probably will not pass. And not to be, you know, a cynic, but that's the truth of the matter. All right. So anyway, that's one of your top three stories. The other top three stories, Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin is still in critical condition. The Bills-Bengals game will not resume this week. They do not have any plans for the game. And then Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of FTX Crypto, pled not guilty to fraud and other charges. Let's get traffic on the fives, and we'll come back with your sports hit.
I-10 eastbound, we have heavy delays. This is due to an accident. Scene of the accident is at exit 22. That's the exit onto Avalon Boulevard. We have all lanes blocked off, so it is standstill traffic on I-10 heading eastbound, backing up until about halfway through the bridge. So once you get about halfway through the bridge heading eastbound as well, you'll start to see those slowdowns. And it is standstill traffic. Other than that, we just have our typical afternoon delays leaving Pensacola heading towards Pace on Highway 90 heading eastbound. If you see something else or have details, please call the traffic line 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All righty. Let's get our sports hit.
Here's your sports hit.
NBA is on NBA TV tonight, 7 o'clock, Washington Wizards against the Milwaukee Bucks. NCAA men's basketball underway already. St. John's is beating Marquette 19-14. That game is on FS1. On ESPN, U coming up in about 15 minutes. Number 8, University of Tennessee, is playing Mississippi State. Then on ESPN at 7 o'clock, LSU is playing Kentucky. ESPN2 at 8 o'clock has number 3 Kansas against Texas Tech. And then on ESPN tonight after the basketball game will be a hockey game. You're going to have Dallas Stars taking on LA right around 9 o'clock tonight. Tampa Bay Lightning, in the meantime, are going to be playing where did they go? Chicago Blackhawks at 7:30 on ESPN Plus, and earlier than that, at 6 o'clock will be the Florida Panthers against the Arizona Coyotes. Then in sports news, we mentioned yesterday that Jim Harbaugh, head coach for the Michigan Wolverines, at least according to reports, would be willing to jump to the NFL if he's given an opportunity. Today, he had a conversation with the Panthers owner. It was not a formal interview, but it was a conversation about joining the team. And NCAA committee has proposed a massive basketball tournament expansion for college basketball, 90-team brackets. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. That is your sports hit. So this is kind of an interesting thing. So now we're going to get started with the legislative session here in the state of Florida, March 7th. Governor DeSantis, as we covered earlier this hour, was just sworn in for his second term. So we have some interesting statistics that is making up the Florida legislature. At least I found these to be kind of interesting. I got this from the Pensacola News Journal, who got it from the Daytona Beach News Journal. Republicans make up 36% of voters in the November election. Really? That seems hard to believe, but okay. According to the statistics, the Republicans made up 36% of voters in the November election. Yet 71% of the lawmakers in the Florida legislature are Republicans. Two-thirds of the House are white. 18% are black. The Senate, 70% white, 17.5% black. The new House Speaker notes that 88% of Hispanic House members are Republicans. 88% of the Hispanic House members are Republicans. The Senate is 40% women, compared with 30% in 2013. So it's increased the number of women by 10%. The House is 42% of women, compared to 23% a decade ago. So that's a really big jump right there, almost 20%. So I just thought those were some kind of those pretty interesting statistics that rolled out here from this. So Hispanics, by the way, comprise nearly 27% of the state's population, 27% of the state's population, 18% of state representatives, 13% of senators. So not that obviously a white person can't represent Hispanic or vice versa, but it's just interesting to just kind of look at the numbers that way. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. One thing I wanted to bring up here, some things to look forward to here in 2023. Super Bowl 57 is going to be February 12th. So, of course, we don't know who's going to play in it yet, but Rihanna's going to be doing a live performance there. The Women's World Cup is happening this summer in New Zealand and Australia. And then Apple and Samsung are both going to have phones coming out this year. It also could be a big year for virtual reality. A new Meta Quest 3 headset from Oculus is coming out this fall. And the Oculus 2, the Meta Quest 2 is already amazing. I can't imagine what the 3 is going to be like. PlayStation has a new virtual headset coming out this year. I haven't seen that one. I hear it's really good too, though. And then Apple is expected to unveil their first virtual reality headset sometime this year. We've got a solar eclipse coming way later in the year, in October 14th. We probably won't see it, though. It's going to be mostly in the West and Texas who will see it. We'll see a partial eclipse. And then King Charles' coronation is set for May 6th. So we'll get a lot of that pomp and circumstance for over there. And You've got fresh episodes of TV shows this year. Of You coming up next month. The Mandalorian coming up in March. Ted Lasso and Succession some point this year. Both of those very good shows. And then a lot of big movies. Here's some Magic Mike's Last Dance. That's right. A third Magic Mike movie. Are you kidding me? I thought one was enough. I think half of one was enough for me. But maybe I'm not the target audience. I don't know. I didn't even see the second one. I was like, all right. There's a new Ant-Man movie coming out this year. Creed 3 coming out. Scream 6. What? And a new John Wick movie in March. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We've also got Super Mario Brothers movie coming out. Another Guardians of the Galaxy and Indiana Jones. A Mission Impossible. A Fast and Furious movie. Little Mermaid movie. A Barbie movie with Margot Robbie. Dune Part 2 is coming out, a Hunger Games prequel. Oh man, all kinds of stuff coming out in 2023. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi coming up here next. We're going to get a quick update from Joe Ford in the newsroom. And we got to cover your top stories on foxnews.com, our national news partner. That's all coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3. Bobby's Brain Tease is coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi. Let's get a quick update from Joe Ford in the newsroom. Joe?
Yeah, Bobby, three rounds of voting, still no House Speaker. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy failing to secure the speakership as the House adjourned until tomorrow at around noon Eastern time is when they will resume that. Congressman Matt Gaetz at the center of the drama today. Governor Ron DeSantis, now in office for a second term, taking the oath of office on the state capitol steps in Tallahassee today. Curious on your thoughts. Did you hear anything that might hint at his political ambitions? I'll be interested for that. The man behind last year's subway attack in New York City pleading guilty to federal charges, Frank James, admitted his guilt to 10 terrorism charges for each person who was shot during the attack. And the family of Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin expressing appreciation for the love and support shown for him during this time. And, you know, going through this and as we're still waiting word on an improving condition, hopefully, it has been good to see the amount of support financially coming in to his charity. He has a toy drive that he's done each of his 2 years in the league, and a very modest charity. You know, I think the goal was, you know, maybe $2,500, somewhere around there, and it's now over $5 million worth of donations since the incident last night.
Yeah, that's what I heard. No, that's pretty. That's at least a positive thing right there. I covered his speech earlier this hour. I didn't see anything that shows him wanting to do anything other than be governor is what I, because I was kind of looking for that as well. Like, I wonder if there's any hints of anything, but no, at least in his speech today, when he was sworn in for the second time, it was merely a speech pertaining to what he would, you know, what he would do or what Florida will continue to do with under his leadership. So, let's get traffic on the fives with Gracie Wolf.
Heavy delays on I-10 right now. This is going to be in the eastbound direction as you're moving towards exit 22. This is the Avalon Boulevard exit. We had an accident that happened a little while ago that closed down all lanes on I-10 heading eastbound. So it is slow moving. Once you get onto the Escambia Bay Bridge, that's where you'll start seeing your delays as you move out of Pensacola going towards Garcon Point. So this is going to cause some heavy delays for a good bit of this evening. If you see something else or have details, please give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, it's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi. Top stories on foxnews.com, our national news partner. Top story is actually cross-country. Chilling body cam video released of suspected Idaho killer's traffic stop weeks before arrest. So this is... body cam footage of the guy. He was arrested, or not? Sorry, he wasn't arrested. I apologize. He was it was a traffic stop. The officer says, when you were driving by me there, you were a little too close to the back of the semi. So basically, it was giving him a warning. that just make sure you're giving plenty of room behind the person right there. And so the suspected killer was one driving. His father was in the passenger seat, and they were pulled over in Indiana. And so, okay, I don't know why it's chilling, but I guess it's chilling if, I don't know why it's chilling. Other top stories at foxnews.com. The Bills have given an update on safety DeMar Hamlin's condition. He is sedated and in critical care after spending the night, or he's still in critical condition after spending the night in intensive care. And we still don't have any other details pertaining to him. His family gave a statement expressing sincere gratitude for the outpouring of support that they've received, which has been fantastic. And then another story on FoxNews.com is Florida Republican stuns the House floor by changing speaker vote. So this is Byron Donalds, who's a big Trump supporter, who Trump helped get him elected in South Florida. And Byron Donalds said in the first vote, he voted for House voted for Kevin McCarthy. Second vote, he voted for Kevin McCarthy. Third vote, he voted for Jim Jordan. Said, look, I gave him a couple of votes, a couple of chances, but clearly something's not right here. And I agree with what the Freedom Caucus wants with term limits and all the other things. So, and then finally, AOC and Paul Gosar were spotted talking on the House floor to one another. And so Twitter exploded with this one, trying to, you know, wonder what they were discussing amongst each other, since she's a Democrat, he's a Republican, he's kind of a hardline Republican, she's a hardline Democrat. And so kind of funny little thing that's blowing up online about that. Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi.
What?
It's Bobby's brain teases.
All right, 2023 is a rare common year because it started on a Sunday and it will end on a Sunday. The last time it happened was 2017. It won't happen again until 2034. And there will be two Friday the 13th this year, one this month and one in October. 40 years ago today, Time put a personal computer on its front for Machine of the Year instead of its usual Man of the Year. 65 years ago today, the Gibson Guitar Company debuted its first Flying V electric guitar, and that happened today. And then the Chinese New Year is January 22nd, and it will be the Year of the Rabbit. So be sure to remember that.